Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
The U.S. and its Western allies are imposing tough sanctions on Russia in the wake of a large-scale invasion of Ukraine.
Putin chose this war, and now he and his country will bear the consequences.
We'll hear why they're stopping short of cutting Moscow off from a global payment system.
There's a lot of focus on SWIFT, but I don't think it's the only option on the table when it comes to trying to cripple Russia's financial system.
Meanwhile, Ukrainians are faced with the difficult decision of whether to stay or leave the country.
One person woke up at 5 in the morning and was watching the news and saw Putin's speech and said, we gotta go, and woke his friends up, and they all just made a beeline for the border.
I guess the main concern here in Kiev is how to survive the night.
It's Thursday, February 24th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Russia has continued its broad assault on Ukraine today, with ground forces moving into the country on multiple fronts and airstrikes targeting the capital, Kyiv, and dozens of other cities. Ukrainian officials say that Russian forces have also captured the defunct Chernobyl nuclear power station and its surrounding exclusion zone. In a televised speech, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky characterized the attack as a declaration of war against the whole of Europe. He urged Ukrainians to take up arms to, quote, defend their freedom. In response to Russia's invasion, a Pentagon spokesman says the U.S. is sending an additional 7,000 U.S. troops to Europe. Speaking at the White House today, President Biden called the attack unprovoked and unjustified and announced broad sanctions on Russian banks and the country's elite.
Putin's aggression against Ukraine will end up costing Russia dearly, economically and strategically. We will make sure of that. Putin will be a pariah on the international stage.
The sanctions will target Russia's military and are intended to cripple its economy by restricting its largest state-owned enterprises. The Treasury Department said the actions target 80% of all banking assets in Russia and limit the country's access to the global financial system. The administration also announced sanctions on 24 individuals and entities in Belarus for supporting the invasion. The UK government is also cutting off several major Russian companies, oligarchs, and the country's second largest bank from the British financial system. European Union leaders say they will be hammering out the details of broad sanctions on Friday. But top officials in Ukraine and other European nations that border Russia have been urging even tougher action, including disconnecting Moscow from the SWIFT global payment system. The Wall Street Journal asked Biden why the U.S. isn't pursuing that route.
The sanctions that we have proposed on all their banks have of equal consequence, maybe more consequence than SWIFT number one. Number two, it is always an option, but right now that's not the position that the rest of Europe wishes to take.
Joining me with more on SWIFT and the impact of cutting Russia off from the system is our Europe finance editor, Alex Frangos. Hi, Alex. Thanks for being here.
Hi there.
So let's start with the basics. What is the SWIFT global payment system?
Well, it's basically a cooperative owned by most of the banks in the world, and it's a messaging service. So when one bank needs to send money to another bank on behalf of a client, it sends a message through SWIFT, which is a secure communications, and it says, please send $100, or, you know, I'm going to send you $100. Can you confirm this is the right person, et cetera, et cetera. And this has been up and running since the late 1970s, and it's become just this ubiquitous, integral part of the global financial system.
So there are countries along the European Union's border with Russia that are calling for disconnecting Russia from the payment system, but that's so far been considered a last resort by some European nations and the U.S. Why is that?
Well, basically, because if you take Russia off SWIFT, it'll be very difficult to pay Russian companies money for things. And the things that people in Europe need from Russia include natural gas and oil to heat homes and run electricity generating stations. And so it would possibly cause severe disruptions in the economy. So I think what European officials are trying to do is balance trying to punish Russia for the invasion without those punishments boomeranging back on the European economy. So it's a very difficult place to be in. The countries on the eastern flank, like Poland, that are very close to Russia, are less concerned about that. They think the West should be taking a harder line in punishing Russia.
And what would the implications be for Russia if it were to be removed from the system?
It would be a pretty big deal. It's not 100% clear, what would happen. It would make payments more difficult. It wouldn't necessarily make them impossible. We have seen in the past places like Iran and North Korea have been taken off the SWIFT system, and they've been forced to, really operate in kind of a black market smuggling kind of way. But some people say that you could still do transactions without SWIFT. It would just be more cumbersome and difficult, especially at first. Over the years, in fact, Russia has, anticipated this. Eliminated from SWIFT was a threat back in 2014 when it annexed Crimea. So they've known this is coming, and, they've tried to set up their own systems, and they don't compete with SWIFT on any level. But, it would certainly be considered a big deal. It'd be very disruptive, but we don't 100% know exactly how it would work out. There's a lot of focus on SWIFT, but I don't think it's the only option on the table when it comes to trying to cripple Russia's financial system. And there are other things that seem to be under consideration, including blocking Russia's biggest banks from transacting in U.S. dollars, basically accessing what's called the U.S. dollar clearing network, which is basically if you transact in U.S. dollars anywhere in the world, it has to kind of go through the Federal Reserve. And the U.S. has this immense power to basically stop banks from anywhere in the world transacting in that way. And in some ways, that might even be more powerful than SWIFT.
That's Wall Street Journal Europe finance editor Alex Frangos. Alex, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Markets whipsawed today, with stocks ultimately ending the day higher following Biden's announcement of sanctions. At the close, the Dow was up 0.3%, the Nasdaq gained 3.3%, and the S&P 500 was up 1.5%. Our markets reporter Gunjan Banerjee has more on how investors are weighing the impact of war in Europe.
Geopolitical tensions in Europe between Russia and Ukraine have been front and center on investors' minds throughout the week. And the thing is, these tensions and the threat of war in Europe comes at a time when investors were already confronting changing monetary policy and looking at the Federal Reserve raising interest rates as soon as March, as well as higher inflation, which has weighed on markets for the past few weeks. And Russia's invasion weighed on markets to start the day and stoked a huge sell-off in major indexes and kind of drove this flight to safer assets in markets. It also spurred this huge intraday reversal where throughout the day, people took a look at the sell-off and some of them said, hey, I'm going to buy this dip in the market. The sell-off and the geopolitical tensions that we're dealing with also led some investors to kind of rejigger their outlook on Federal Reserve interest rate increases. The thinking is maybe the Fed won't be as aggressive as they would have been in the past because of what's going on in Europe.
But the invasion is not just impacting politics and markets. It's upending the lives of millions of Ukrainians. Coming up after the break, we'll hear how residents in the capital are preparing for a full-scale war and check in along the border with Poland, where many people are now fleeing.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.
Ahead of the invasion in Ukraine, streets out of the capital Kyiv were filled with cars as residents tried to flee the city under threat of an imminent attack. That's where our chief foreign affairs correspondent Yaroslav Trofimov has been, and we spoke with him earlier today. Yaroslav, now that Russia has invaded Ukraine, tell us what you're seeing and hearing.
Well, we woke up to the sound of explosions about 5 o'clock in the morning, and these were the Russian airstrikes that hit military facilities on the outskirts of Kyiv. Then we heard the sound of Russian jets in the skies, and war came to the capital of Ukraine. So the streets emptied out. A lot of people tried to leave and travel towards the western part of Ukraine, closer to Poland, that many people think is safer. Lines formed outside teller machines to take out cash, outside gas stations. People flocked to the big supermarkets to buy water and other essential supplies. and pretty much everything else in the city was shut down. And by the afternoon, the city, the streets were eerily empty. There are reports now confirmed that Russian airborne troops have landed in a military airfield in the outskirts of Kiev. So they're not far at all. They're just outside.
What are some of the immediate concerns you're hearing from Ukrainians right now?
Well, I mean, people who are evacuated are not evacuating abroad. They're leaving for the western part of Ukraine, which is, people think because it's further away from Russia, because it's a fiercely sort of anti-Russian part of the country, they will be safe there. And it's not certain that it is, because Russia has been bombing targets all across the country, including the West. But I guess the main concern here in Kiev is how to survive the night. People are bracing for another round of bombing. A lot of people are going to sleep in the subways. And, Ukrainian subway stations are buried pretty deeply in the ground because they were initially built as nuclear bomb shelters during the Cold War. So that's where a lot of people are going to be spending the night tonight. It's sort of mind-boggling, for a lot of people here. How did this happen? Just yesterday, this was a peaceful city, with bustling bars and coffee shops and restaurants and, fashion stores and all the other trappings of what is a modern European capital. And today there are bombs falling on it.
That was our chief foreign affairs correspondent Yaroslav Trofimov reporting from Kyiv. Some of the Ukrainians heading west are also fleeing Ukraine entirely, crossing into Poland. That's where our Wall Street Journal senior reporter Drew Hinshaw is. Drew, what have the last couple of hours been like for you?
I'm just outside the Polish border crossing of Medyka. It's right on the border with Ukraine. And it's a kind of surreal scene. It's normally a very quiet place. Business people who work there, like the foreign currency exchange person, told me that normally they might have like 10 or 15 people a day who come across the border to get cigarettes duty free, and then they go across and sell them. Today, there are just a pretty steady stream of people, and mostly moms, single moms with kids, dragging suitcases and coming off buses. The buses are jam-packed, and it's a somewhat chaotic and surreal scene.
Have you been able to talk to anyone who's trying to get out of Ukraine right now about what their major concerns are right now and what they've been dealing with?
We've been speaking with people as they come across the border about their stories and what's been going on. Almost everyone we spoke to was a little bit more jittery than everybody else. I think a lot of Ukrainians did not really fully believe that this was going to happen. I mean, the scale of this took everybody by surprise. And the people who are crossing, almost to a person, said, my family was like, oh, why are you leaving? Or, you're panicking, stay put. But one person woke up at 5 a.m. and was watching the news and saw Putin's speech and said, we got to go, and woke his friends up, and they all just made a beeline for the border. So the people that we've been speaking to are probably the first to come across of a larger wave that's coming.
Given that a lot of transportation routes have been closed down, airports shut down, what methods are available to people who are now looking to leave Ukraine?
The people that came today sort of beat the worst of it. Maybe they own their own car, maybe they took a train, went with a friend. The question is sort of like, as this war escalates all over the country, this is going to get a lot harder to cross.
Tell us more about sort of the immediate concerns that observers are looking at, keeping an eye on, even tonight into the next couple of days now as this is moving along.
I think the immediate issue here is just how much of the country is suffering airstrikes right now. A lot of people expected Russia would move into the east, then kind of push further and further west, bit by bit. There were airstrikes, a 30, 40-minute drive from the Polish border, which is also the border of the European Union and of NATO. Airstrikes are happening in every part of the country right now, and it is really chaotic there.
Drew, are you seeing airstrikes where you are?
We couldn't hear or see any airstrikes on the Polish side. What we saw were people kind of coming across with a look of sort of shock and disbelief on their face. They're getting text messages on Telegram or Viber from family members and friends saying, I need to get out too. What do I do?
Drew, you spoke earlier about the shock some people have that this is happening right now. Have you heard from any of them about what they'd like to see or what message they want to send to people outside of their region right now?
People thought that the U.S. intelligence was sort of part of an information war, that they were sort of exaggerating the intelligence to somehow push Putin to back down. But I think the past 24 hours have revealed that actually, no, the U.S. was really very accurate in what it predicted. We spoke with people who came across the border and basically said, I didn't believe the U.S. I thought this was WMDs again. You know, they're sort of exaggerating this for military purposes. But no, I mean, it's dawning on people that the scenario the U.S. painted was unfortunately very accurate. I think the shock and disbelief is still a little bit there. You know, one person I spoke to thought, oh, I'm going to go back in a week to see my boyfriend, you know? I think that this is still sort of somehow setting in on people, dawning on people. People are worried about their relatives. A lot of Ukrainians have relatives in the military. There's a lot of people in the Ukrainian military. So a lot of the people who are crossing, they have family members who are fighting right now. People are worried about their relatives who don't have a passport, who can't get out. I think that's the main emotion I've encountered at the border, is a mixture of shock and disbelief and concern for family members who are fighting or who aren't going to be able to make it out.
Wall Street Journal reporter Drew Hinshaw. Drew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, too.
That's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We have continuing coverage on the invasion in Ukraine on our website, WSJ.com, and we'll be back with more tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.